Trains, like billboards, are a piece of Americana fast leaving the public's consciousness. Few of us use the trains anymore, and many of us never notice a train as it passes by. Yet with the bankruptcy of the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific Railroad, known locally as the Rock Island, it becomes apparent to many in eastern Colorado that agricultural, marketing, or any attempt at attracting diversified industries still needs rail service. But seldom during these latter-day arguments has anyone wanted to save the Rock or its historical value. Two railroads pushed through this area in the 19th century, and they are primarily responsible for the communities in which we now live. The coming of the railroad stimulated a rapid advancement of settlement, bringing new business and financial activity and improved access to markets. They provided many tax dollars for operation of schools and local governmental activities. They marked the beginning of Colorado's tourism industry, promoting their towns in eastern cities, providing transportation, building hotels, and offering guided tours. The first railroad to pass through this area was the Kansas Pacific Railroad, originally chartered as the Union Pacific Eastern Division. It entered the county June 1, 1870, with construction engineer Colonel Leonard A. Eicholtz noting, "Tie laying on the Kansas Pacific reached 40 miles west of Kit Carson, near Boyero, using 5,000 oxen. 588 ox teams are hauling ties from the headwaters of Bijou Creek, south of Deer Trail. Also, 46 teams of mules are hauling ties." General William J. Palmer, a director of the KP and the man who supervised its construction, hired William F. Cody, later known as Buffalo Bill, at the rate of $500 per month to kill 12 buffalo a day and to see that they were cut, dressed, and ready for the cooks each evening. With that sort of activity, the railroad reached Boyero June 25th. Clifford, named after Billy Clifford, a KP track foreman and later rancher, July 1st, the Willow Springs Stage Station, now the Lincoln County Fairgrounds, July 4th, and Hugo at 9 a.m. on July 5th. Hugo was made the division point. In 1890, the division point was moved to Cheyenne Wells, but it was reestablished at Hugo in 1908. Leaving Hugo, the KP reached Baghdad July 7th. Lake Stage Station, July 10th, an important stage station on the Smoky Hill Route. Lake was the scene of many skirmishes with the Indians before the advent of the railroad, according to Colonel Eicholtz. The site, later known as Lyman, July 11th, then on into Elbert County. Other towns north of the KP route sprung up nearly two decades later as the Rock Island made its way across Lincoln County. Tracks were laid in 1888, and in the following year, a depot in eastern Colorado was named Arriba, and the surrounding community adopted the name Bovine, meaning cow, was a watering hole along the Texas-Montana cattle trail until the Rock Island came through. The name was changed to Bovina, and for a time, the community was larger than Hugo, Arriba, or Lyman. North of Hugo, the Rock Island passed through a homestead owned by people named Etchernat. The family established a town named Creech on their land adjacent to the railroad. The community was later known as Cable. And still later, in 1903, the town's name was again changed to Genoa. Lyman really owes its existence to both railroads. According to Dale Cooley, Lyman became a place on the map when the Chicago and Rock Island Railroad went through in 1888. When it was building from Kansas to Colorado Springs, Lyman Junction was one of the Rock Island's camp towns, where the railroad set up tents and built offices. The first name was Lyman's Camp, presumably for one of the building foremen, John Lyman. But while the Rock put Lyman on the map, land for the town was granted by the Union Land Company. In 1889, W.S. Pershing, a land agent for the UP, moved to Lyman and purchased the town site. The town was platted that year. In 1978, Cooley noted, "Gone are the extensive railway repair shops and the seven-staff roundhouse and the hundreds of people who made their living from the railroads. Gone also is the coal chute, which formerly stood at the north edge of the railroad yards, as well as the tall steel water tank which stood on the hill south of the railroad tracks due east of the depot." The UP stockyards were raised in 1977, victims of stiff competition from the trucking industry. Cooley could have been discussing any of the railroad towns in Lincoln County. The colorful history, the Indian attacks, and the Pullman cars are gone, but perhaps efforts to maintain the railroads as a visible and viable part of the American scene still can be successful. If so, maybe the following words by Oliver Jensen will be merely a status report and not an epitaph. The old railroad yard is a tangle of weeds, twisted track, seemingly derelict cars, an eyesore in a landscape dominated by crowded, encircling highways. The depot, even in many big cities, has been demolished, or it is a lonely, echoing chamber where only one or two lights burn, a place to make the occasional visitor feel like a trespasser into the past. Along the empty platform, trash blows back and forth, graffiti marks the walls. Once a day, perhaps, there limps in a collection of patched-up cars decked out in garish reds and purples like an old woman with too much lipstick.